Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It ever happens. No need to have it today. For today, you got it. And today, there are two Group of Five teams in the college football playoff. And that was never supposed to happen. I mean, really, it wasn't. Like, who would have ever thought? I mean, again, yes, blame the ACC for their stupid, wonky tiebreaker. But this was not supposed to be the design here, but it's happening. So enjoy. Enjoy the times that we are living in right now. All right, we'll come back. Memphis basketball off the mat this weekend. Are you kidding me? Three-point dog against Baylor. No Hassan Abdul-Hakim. And they do the unthinkable. Is the season saved? We'll talk about it when we get back. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Black Tie Moving is changing, moving in the city of Memphis. Jeff Calkins is moving. He used Black Tie. He was raving about it. Had one of the movers show up with a mouthpiece for the tuba, and he got a show. He got a little bit of a concert in the off time. Black Tie Moving is the best. They will get it done quickly. They will get it done on budget. They will show up on time. I've used them twice. If I ever have to do it again, I will. 316-6196 is the phone number. Black Tie Moving, change and moving in the city of Memphis. All right, everybody, around the time we do the rundown, let's go. All right, boppity boppity bop bop bop. Memphis basketball. We talked so much about Memphis football. We've talked so much about Memphis football. We've talked so much about college football that it's almost like college basketball has taken a back seat. But Penny Hardaway said, don't forget about us this weekend. Saturday, Memphis Tigers hosted the Baylor Bears. Three-point dogs at tip. Three-point underdogs at tip. And they get it done. 78-71, best game of the year. No question about it from Memphis. I mean, they were flying around. They were, defending. Aaron Bradshaw gave you 17-7. What? Where did that come from? Cam Carr, who is a future lottery pick for Baylor, he did have a double-double, but like he really wasn't.
He was 3-15.
Yeah, he really had a hard time. He had a hard time. Wow. Zach Davis, 23-13. Another great game for him. Memphis got down midway through the second half. They were trailing by as many as eight, and they just turned the water off on Baylor there at one point. Baylor just could not get a look. And this is a game, by the way, where Memphis shot 3 of 16 from three. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to shoot better than that.
I was going to say, they played better games offensively.
Yeah.
Probably 41% from the field, but had not seen that level of performance from either Zach Davis or Aaron Bradshaw.
Right.
And it came, boy, did it come at the right time. Because I'll just say, Doug offensively was struggling, although you like the 7 assists he ends up with and finishes with 11 points. He was 4 of 12. And so my point, they needed someone to step up offensively. And a game where I thought Penny's depth, which he has talked about and at one point this preseason had lauded, I thought it wore a Baylor team that only plays seven, eight guys, it wore them down. And defensively, that's what Penny's always hoped to do, right, when he plays the more guys, is to create chaos defensively, wear you down. And against a team with a shorter rotation that's still trying to figure some things out but really doesn't have any other choices, right, clearly you held them to 34% shooting. You had them sort of backpedaling for a lot of that game because of your defensive activity level. So
yes.
That's a game where multiple guys, he had eight, nine guys played 10 or more minutes. and played more than that. I thought that one, that's one where the game plan paid off.
Yep.
Particularly defensively. Offensively, in a game that you didn't shoot the ball well.
Yeah, absolutely right. Now, we talked about this four-game stretch of Baylor, Louisville, Vandy, and Mississippi State. And we said Baylor was just going to be your realistically your best chance to win, right? Because it's here. It's like you, a team that has basically started from scratch, basically replaced everybody on the roster from a year ago, zero returning minutes for Baylor. And so the game being here, again, an unranked Baylor team, this was going to be your best chance. Memphis got the win. Memphis got the win. They pulled back to 500. And, you know, listen, can anything happen? Sure, anything can happen. They're going to be big underdogs at Louisville. And that's fine. They were always going to be big underdogs at Louisville. KenPom's got it as a 14-point loss for Memphis. Do I expect that to be more competitive than that? I do. I expect it to be more competitive than a 14 because we know how Penny is in these spots. But, again, you know, now the charge is, you know, I don't even actually know if there is a non-conference charge. You know, you're 67 at KenPom. I didn't check today to see what they are in the net. I assume they jumped up, you know, they're up to 124 in the net. So that's a positive. But that's firmly outside of the at-large discussion, right? If you beat Vandy and Mississippi State, like if you go 2-1 here, which would be a, I mean, that would be a very, very impressive. And you probably jump up into the 100, you know, top 100. But I think the at-large conversation is still on ice for now. You know, Memphis is going to have to rattle off quite a bit of these, you know. And it's interesting because UNLV beat Stanford over the weekend, which you would think, all right, maybe that loss doesn't weigh you down as much, but Memphis still sitting here at 124. So that means you're firmly, obviously, out of the at-large conversation. But, yeah, you know, I think it gives you hope that all the goals that you want Memphis to, you know, to achieve are still in front of them if they can beat a team like Baylor.
No, it'd be nice to pick off one of these, you know, one of these really good teams in terms of signature win. You needed that win against Baylor to continue to tell yourself that, you know what, things are trending for us in the right direction. We're figuring some things out, particularly with your defensive effort. You needed that, again, to be the case against a team that we said, there's opportunity here. It comes through. And so, more importantly than, John, because there's a likelihood you're going to be 7-6, 6-7, than worrying about at large, I think is Penny trying to find, can I get this same thing from Zach Davis every night? Can I get this same thing from Aaron Bradshaw just in terms of effort level? I'm not expecting 17, but they've got to continue that part of this first. Again, it's going to matter in terms of your non-con and what it might do for your seating, but back kind of where you're going, I can't make that my priority right now.
Right.
Not with the schedule that's in front of me. If I start focusing on that and you lose these next two against a real good opponents, and all of a sudden I'm saying, oh man, this season's over.
Yep.
It can't be that. It has to be, do I have the right 8 to 10 guys? Keep in mind, you had a couple of key guys that didn't play in this game.
Yep.
Maybe it's 11, maybe it's 12, that are for sure going to be my conference championship guys. Because I got to go all in on getting the right mix so that I know for sure I'm winning the conference tournament championship to not to leave no reason for debate, no yep. reason on whether I'm in on an at-large. I'm with you. It feels like right now you gave up UNLV, you let them run out of your building, and you absolutely handed Wake Forest a win.
Right.
That's dark. But you can't allow that to be the focus right now. You got to focus on these 3-0 that you've won
yep.
and won over a B opponent. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or what is that, quad two, whatever it is?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a solid win, but again, you know, the goal is to, at this point, win the American Conference Tournament. I mean, that's
has to be.
That's all it can
be. And finding the right mix to do it.
Yeah. And again, beating Baylor, top 40 team at KenPom, should give you some hope that is very much doable. You know, your main competition, as usual, is going to be, you know, South Florida in that league. So, yeah, they're probably going to end up, they're probably going to be 5-7 going into conference play. I mean, that's just, you know, we have to kind of just call the balls and strikes here. Again, they were slight dogs to Baylor, and that was a, you know, very impressive win. Absolutely had to have it. You avoid worst case scenario by getting that one. But yeah, Vandy's up to 8 at KenPom. Like they are,
it's good for them.
They are sickos there.
Yeah.
I don't know how they've done it. I don't, you know, this feels like the best they've ever been in program history. They just beat SMU by 20 on Wednesday. So, you know, they are just destroying and I guess that's how. They're just destroying everybody, right? They beat St. Mary's by 25.
Right.
They beat VCU by 15 on the road. I mean, they are every bit. I mean, you're going to be probably an 8-point underdog to Vandy at home, which is kind of nuts. But it's deserved based on what they've done and kind of also what you've done. But again, nice win. If you can get that version of Memphis, I feel very good about them keeping the tournament streak alive. Will they get that? You know, I guess you could really start to make the argument, Jason. Didn't get embarrassed by any stretch of the imagination at Ole Miss. You were a 10.5-point underdog. You covered that. You know, you were in that game. You never got blown out. Yes, you lost the bad one to UNLV. You were leading with 7 minutes to play against Purdue. Should have beaten Wake Forest. So we're basically really just talking about one bad 40-minute stretch of the season where they've looked bad. Mm-hmm. But the rest of it, you would say, they covered against Southern Illinois. They covered against New Orleans. They obviously won outright as an underdog against Baylor.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could make the case that at 67, at 124 in the net, that maybe they're underrated, undervalued, because they're being penalized for one bad 40-minute stretch of basketball. And all the other minutes have been pretty good, you would have to say.
Yeah, I mean, they should be 6-2. You never should have gotten run off the floor by UNLV, and you should have beaten Wake Forest. And so that we would have said that was going to be best-case scenario through 8 games before the season.
Yep.
6-2. You're 4-4. You're two
right.
games off that. You got a nice win against Baylor. It's not a signature win. If you're going to do anything significant in the non-conference, you have to get one of these next ones, Louisville, Vanderbilt. I just think to turn any heads, Utah State's not even going to do that for you in terms of seeding, John.
No, it will not.
It's not. That's what I've factored out for now.
Right.
Worrying about seeding.
Yeah.
Not with what's left on the schedule.
Right.
What you've got to see is if Penny Hardaway can coach this team up.
Yep.
We knew it was all new. Last 3 games, it's looked better. 2 of them, you can't even really count. But it might be what they needed, John.
Yeah.
Going back into Baylor in this stretch so he could finally. The thing that frustrates me is I keep talking about finding the right guys. And you have a guy that I had completely written off in
yes.
Aaron Bradshaw
yes.
comes back in. Now, you really can't write him off, can you? Because of what he's making.
Right.
Because of what you've invested in him,
yep.
the time, what you need, you can't write him off.
You need him to play.
So to see him come
yep.
back, and if that Roy Rogers behind the scenes you hear is working with Aaron, like everybody's working with Aaron, but he's the one guy that's been a big.
Right.
And that was a different Aaron Bradshaw in that
game.
It was a different Aaron Bradshaw in that game. So back to the point, we're talking about, you know, what the staff didn't do
yep.
and that loss to Wake Forest. If they are coaching up Aaron Bradshaw in the
yeah.
background and you can start to get this more consistent, John, that's what the season's got to be about.
Yeah.
Penny taking a team where he had to flip 15 and trying to coach this thing up, because for a while it looked like a hot mess.
Yep.
I think this roster's probably better than we've given it credit for after that junk start, 1-4 start. And again, I tell you, coaching is the reason you didn't get the Wake Forest win. It wasn't the roster. You played well for the most part in the Bahamas. Can you pick off one of these next ones? I don't have high hopes, John, that, you know, that the Vandy team's gotten too good
yep.
at this point. Can you do that or not? Either way, it's going to be about going into the conference with the guys that you know
yep.
right, is the right mix and winning it. That's all there is to it. I mean, can Penny Hardaway coach this thing up from what at one point looked
right.
like a hot mess?
Right.
Like maybe a you know, a mess that we didn't want to talk about what the ending might look
right.
like.
Right. I mean, I think we're hitting the right notes here, because they were always going to win those 2 games after getting back from the Bahamas, right? Southern Illinois and New Orleans, right? So they were always going to win those. And they covered the number and outperformed, quote unquote, you know, so that's good in that regard, but we're not going to sit here and overreact to,
but,
you know, by game wins, right? But beating Baylor, how it looked, getting that version of, we have not seen that. We haven't seen that version of Aaron Bradshaw since he was playing AAU.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally his best game in probably 3 years, 4 years. Can you get that again? Did the benching him for that game against New Orleans, did that like get through to him finally? Like, yo, dude, this is it for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get your ish together, this is the end of the line for Aaron Bradshaw in basketball.
Well,
maybe it did.
And I'll just say, Zach Davis in that game was the kind of player, I wouldn't say we would have thought 23 and 13 was coming, but that was the kind of activity level we thought we were getting
yep.
the guy coming a step down from
yep.
the SEC.
100%.
And so back to that, if you could get that consistently.
Absolutely.
Because for a while, he hadn't been able to defend without fouling.
Yep.
So you're finally getting him out of that. If you could get those two
yep.
just on a more consistent basis, I ain't expecting it game to game. We've seen it
yep.
be up and down. But if those two, you get them on a consistent basis, John, there's enough with what they had out. Thedford, we've seen the effort level. Heck, he started on fire the other day before he goes down with the knee. You know, you've seen Ashton be able to score Curtis at times has played with the guys that were out. You know, there's enough here to at least put together a solid season for Penny to where he has folks, you know, that were on the ledge about this. Feeling better.
Yeah. Listen, if they go out and they get blown out by Louisville and then they come back and they lose to Vandy and then they got that road game missing, they dropped that one. I mean, we'll kind of be right back to where we were.
I'd like to get at least the Mississippi State game.
I'd love to get the Vandy one.
Hoping that this is improvement that we're seeing and we will see a more, you know, consistent version of this team, particularly defensively.
I mean, yeah, Mississippi State's in free fall. They lost to San Francisco at home yesterday.
Yeah. That Mississippi State game doesn't look nearly as daunting as it once did. My point. And we said that about Baylor. We said this is a Baylor team you can get because of the inexperience, because they play a short rotation. Yep. And you went out and did it. So I need at least that Mississippi State one on the road.
Yep.
I'm expecting them, John, to lose to Louisville and Vanderbilt because of the level of teams that those are. Louisville game is projected 14 at KenPom.
Yep. Also, I think Mississippi State just lost Hubbard. He got hurt yesterday in that game. Only played 2 minutes.
I did not see that.
Yeah. And obviously, like, he's like their only player, it feels like, this year. So if he does not play in that game, which, you know, is only a couple weeks out, that's a huge boon for Memphis, and they could maybe even be, I don't know, favored, but you know, pick them. It's the 20th, so he got 2 weeks basically for Hubbard, whatever the injury is. So if it's an ankle sprain, maybe he comes back for that one. I don't know, but yeah, it got a little easier. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And if you do win that one, that would put you at, let's just assume, losses to Vandy and Louisville. But then you win at Mississippi State, and then you beat Alabama State.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going into conference play 6-6, and you played. And in fairness to Memphis, like, they played an unbelievable schedule. Like,
I would have said the best we said they could do was probably 8-4, going into the
absolute
conference
best
with Utah State.
Dream if they were 8-4. Yeah, and they so I mean
John. Again, you can't erase UNLV. That was an awful loss. It's why where you are metrically. But they win that game like they should.
Right.
And they beat Wake Forest like they should. You're sitting there 6-2 instead of 4-4. We're talking about this season probably a little bit differently. Are we saying they're going to beat Louisville or Vandy? Probably not, because of what those teams are doing. But we're feeling completely different about the job. Right, that what's happening out there, the roster probably even, and that should have happened. You got run off floor, your team wasn't ready. That's coaching, that's players, that's everybody against UNLV.
Yep.
And then Wake Forest was literally not getting Doug to miss the free throw. That should have been a win. And you played Purdue well.
Yep.
So that's the point. The tenor would be different if only, you know, but you can't, that's all water under the bridge now. You have to go with what you got. My point is, it can be close to kind of what we thought it would be.
And I mean,
still, it's still in the picture.
Because here's the reality. When you play five teams that are in the top, you know, but I'll say six because Ole Miss is 53. You play six teams in the top 53 at KenPom, you're going to be with a brand new team. You know, the best you could hope to be is 500, right? I mean, that trap door could open up, and it could be nasty.
Yeah,
right. And it obviously,
I think that's what you get with the Baylor win, is a little bit of okay, all right.
It's like a tourniquet.
Right, I think I can start coaching some guys up here.
I mean, to be honest, we were seeing it in the first half of Wake Forest. We were like, you know, hey, bad loss against UNLV, but they played Purdue to the hilt.
Dude, seven minutes left? They had the lead or whatever on Purdue.
So
that's what I'm saying. Played them better than the Texas Tech or whatever did.
It doesn't really make sense. Like, this Memphis team doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but it does seem to be getting better.
The fact that you're going replacing 15 came back to haunt you.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who's in, who's out. You don't have any chemistry. But now he's maybe coaching through it and coaching them up.
Yeah.
Again, this is the same coach that I said, well, you cost him the Wake Forest game. I said everybody's got to lock in. Not just this roster that we've criticized, the coaching staff has criticized, but the coaching staff. Roy Rogers with Aaron Bradshaw getting the most that you can out of him. Penny Hardaway in terms of doubling down on defense.
Yep.
They had to lock in too. Maybe, hopefully, that's happening, John.
Exactly.
And maybe it can, you know, end up in the next two games getting you something that's you didn't expect.
Yep. Yep.
At any point this season, win over Louis and Vandy.
Very, very fair. And by the way, we didn't mention it, but they beat Baylor without Thetford. I mean, Thetford was like your high energy guy.
They beat Baylor with Doug McDaniel not having one of them Kendrick Davis type leadership offensively games.
Yeah.
He was not shooting the ball well, although down the stretch, boy, you needed him. And he finished with 7 assists. That's Doug hung in there,
yeah,
which is what I appreciate on a night where the shot wasn't necessarily dropping the way we usually are used to seeing. And you found a way to win, John.
Yep.
Okay. Hopefully that Baylor team is going to be a tournament team.
They should.
And you'll look back. Back on it and say that was a quality win that came at a time where, boy, you know, we really needed it. We thought the trajectory was turned up. But with that win, it sort of solidified it for us, and we knew we were, you know, at least putting seeing signs of improvement.
Yes.
Coaching guys up. That's what it looked like to me. Zach Davis, Aaron Bradshaw, guys that finally, you expected more from, you were finally starting to see it.
Yes.
So credit to all involved.
Memphis back in action on Saturday, where they will be on the road at Louisville. That game is 2:30 tip on ESPN. First game in what, 8 years against Louisville?
Josh era.
I thought Tubby had one.
Maybe he did.
I think
8 years. Yeah.
I think Tubby had. It was a neutral though. I think it was like in New York or something.
Okay.
I remember because Jeremiah played in it. But obviously, it's been quite a while since Memphis and Louisville have played a game, and obviously, this is the start of a 6-year series, so it's fantastic. Would love to kick it off with handing Louisville an L, but they're pretty awesome too. Who they just beat? Indiana? Yeah, they lost to Arkansas on Wednesday, then they came back and won at Indiana. So they're real. They're a hell of a team.
Mm-hmm.
But we know Penny gets his teams up for these spots as well. So anyway, a really, really necessary, much needed win for Memphis, but they were underdogs. And you gotta give credit to Penny in these spots, man. When it feels like the chips are down, that man finds a way to win, and he did it again on Saturday against Baylor. So, nice win for Memphis.
A couple of wins for the Memphis Grizzlies over the weekend. Got a win yesterday, most recently, over the Portland Trailblazers. Be a little break here before they get Utah on Friday. Because of these performances, albeit against lower-level teams, but I was telling John before we came on, it feels like there's been a settling down without your key guy in John Morant, and hopefully he's coming back soon, a finding the floor. You know, I think Isolo has found his footing here for the Grizzlies, who have won seven of nine, and last night beat the Portland Trail Blazers. Also on Friday, got past the Clippers 107-98. Now, that was a big Cedric Coward game, 23 points and 14 rebounds for him. And that one, we had talked about it. Opportunity in this homestand against these teams that were beneath you, and the Grizzlies, like I said, have found the floor. Sort of, you know, what they're not going to drop behind. And I think teams like Portland that are now behind them, teams like the Clippers that I don't know if that's fixable, have sort of shown that now. And the Grizzlies, in beating them a couple of times, certainly in the case of the Clippers, you've shown. I give Isolo credit. We keep going back to that game after Boston. It did coincide, the aftermath, with the return of Zach Edey because Cleveland was next. And remember that game. It's where you had the first six minutes you had everybody felt like that you could have. Of course, no Ty Jerome, but you had Edey back out there. John Morant was before he was pulled. But my point, you know, since that point, and we were looking at Isolo, has he lost the roster? He's questioning the effort after Boston. They have really sort of settled nicely into roles. That's why I think, too, and I won't get too far off subject, but this is why it is critical. You have to give, if you're John Morant watching Isolo coach this team, and albeit beating the lower-level teams, but as, again, finding that floor, finding their footing, you better respect this and want to come back and at least give a professional effort. Because, again, you kind of led at one point with the sort of whatever you want to call that in the second half against the Lakers. You put him in a real tenuous spot. You put your head coach, your new head coach, who you were on board with in a real tenuous spot, with the rest of the roster. If you don't believe in him, you got a problem with him. Well, what's the rest of the roster going to think? And you had left him like that sort of to hang.
Yep.
Right? And again, in his first season where he's trying to build up respect, credibility with his own roster, I mean, he's got to prove it to these guys, too, that he knows what he's doing. And look at the job. Yes, the schedule has helped. You've benefited that these lower-level opponents have come in a good time. But Isolo's found credibility because guys are buying into roles. And so that's why for John Morant, you better get with the program when you come back. How can you not respect this? This is a team that lost 8 of 9 to start November. And if it beats Utah, that's 8 of 10 that would have won. And so I just think you have to give Isolo a tremendous amount of credit with what he's faced here. We didn't discuss the injuries.
Yep.
You know, Zach Edey being out for a long part of it. Now John Morant, all those things. Your star player challenging you, or at least not liking the way you hold him accountable to that point, seemingly. To be able to have gotten back to this point now, John, albeit schedules helped you. Really impressive job by Isolo to get both of those wins. Last night, Santi had 22. Jalen Wells, who's found his shooting touch again, really feels like he's a part of the offense and comfortable again. He and KCP had 17 points apiece. Jock, too, slotted back to that two spot behind Edey, 15 points. As I said, the Grizzlies won for the seventh time in nine games. Looking to do it again against Utah on Friday. Right now, I think it's good vibes because you've settled things down, and they're looking like the team we thought they would be this preseason, at least I think John and I did. Yeah, they're probably going to settle into a play-in spot. Maybe John Morant comes back. He buys in. You know, you get Brandon Clark back here, and it's a good version of him. You get Jaren Jackson playing consistently. I'm more concerned about that on the defensive end.
Yep.
Maybe you can get yourself up into that top six. Again, maybe it can be special again. But I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad for Isolo that they've found sort of a baseline. Now that they've settled down, guys, Cam Spencer has been great in terms of the role that he's accepted. Guys have stepped up, accepted roles. Now you want to see the star player come back and do the same. Whenever he gets back, he was upgraded to doubtful for the game against the Clippers before being ruled out. So you figure Ja Morant is close. Friday, you got a break here. Friday, hopefully you can see the return and hopefully things will go as well. And then you start beating the bigger teams, the better teams. Remember, you didn't beat San Antonio because you didn't have a closer down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Ja Morant can come in, help out, and we'll see if this thing can be better than a play-in team.
Yeah, I was in the home of Ja Morant over the weekend in Murray, Kentucky.
Oh,
got a chance to see where he darkened the hallways there at the I don't even know what they call it, CMFB or something like that. Cannot believe he played there for 2 years, is what I would say.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you were very impressed with it. You didn't remember the name of the place you were in.
It was not. It makes you appreciate FedEx Forum. I'll say that. Good team, talented team for sure, but the digs, man. Woo, Murray, Kentucky. The next time I go back will be too soon, bro. Just one street, you know, just one long street. The football stadium's right there.
College towns are.
It's got just one side of seating. It's like they just gave up on the other side. It's really quite the scene there. But no, I mean it's Grizz are doing what I guess have to do. Is that fair to say? I mean, otherwise it would have been just a total disaster. But there was a time where it looked like that, and now it doesn't. It looks much more credible, and yeah, I would imagine that a big part of that is Zach Edey's return. He has just made things a lot easier for the Grizzlies, you know, whether it's offense, defense, whatever, pushing Landell back to a bench guy where he seems to be thriving. 15-8 yesterday in 21 minutes. Cam Spencer's emergence, obviously. If Jaren ever decides he wants to be a serious NBA player again, man, I really do believe that this team could get to top six. I'm not sure that will happen.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know that he fits Isolo's offense with his strengths. We've touched on this in Harrington. I heard him touch on the same thing. Keep in mind, when Jaren's been at his best, it's been Isolo Isolo. I put isolation and Isolo together. That was pretty genius, though.
That's what I would call it.
He doesn't do that. It's the ball is moving. The Isolo offense is moving. Jaren can't just be out on the wing going ISO, going straight at his man. It's not really what his offense calls for. And once you get Ja Morant back, you're going to stop for Jaren over on the wing?
Yeah.
I mean, that's you'd be tough. Changing. Now, Isolo's shown he can adapt, but I'm just not sure that this offense benefits Jaren in a way that he ever gets comfortable to the point that, you know, you're seeing 20-something on average again. Can you have nights where you have it? Sure. But I don't know. Again, that's part of what they've got to get figured out.
Yeah.
How can you get him comfortable offensively? That has led to the drop-off defensively,
yep.
The career lows and steals and blocks, him not being, it feel comfortable. I'm not going to say happy.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for Jaren, but not comfortable. I don't know that it fits his game, John.
Yep.
You know, he's not your prototypical big, who typically in Isolo's offense is setting screens.
Yep.
That ain't Jaren. So you're having the drop-off defensively. He did get two blocks and that game against Portland. I bring them up because they were important, and they were an improvement.
Yeah,
he wasn't blocking shots. Here's the thing: Jaren can't have an excuse defensively with Edey back. You have to be a monster now. That's your job. And so that's what I'm saying. And I think that is rooted in how uncomfortable he is offensively. I could be completely wrong, but that's where Islo and Jaren have still got to get it figured out, to where Jaren's comfortable enough that you're getting whatever that best version is, and it ain't going to include a lot of rebounds. We got to stop crying about this. This just is what he is. But you have to be a game changer defensively with Edie back. There's no more excuse now. Now you're allowed to roam. So they got to get that figured out. I think it's rooted in the offensive issues.
Yeah, this is his worst season ever.
It's 6 points in that game. He's 3 of 10.
Yeah.
Took just 1 3. For Jaren, Jaren just taking 1 3, you know, you can tell, well, that's him disengaged there.
Yeah.
I don't like him taking 7 of 10 either, but just taking one.
Right.
That's Jaren saying,
if you just take his entire line holistically, it's because he's only averaging one block a game.
Last I looked, it was career lows, steals, and blocks. I don't know where if he's gotten it up with the two he had last night.
It's career lows, it's
career
and
lows
steal.
In both. It's
almost a career high in fouls a game.
That part is non-negotiable, man, because when they gave him the deal, they knew that they didn't have a guy that was going to blossom into a 12 to 15 rebound guy, but the money was because you're a former DPOY. You were a DPOY when you had the big boy center next to you.
Yep.
There are no more excuses.
Third lowest rebound on average.
So how could that not be rooted in what's happening to him offensively?
Yeah.
That's where I say Isolo's got a real issue on his. You got Ja. You got to figure out. Then with this Jaren thing, does he fit in my offense? I know Ja fits in my offense. Does Jaren?
Right.
This big dude don't even set screens hardly.
Yep. It's it's an issue, man. It's an issue.
Maybe he can coach through that.
I mean, amazing that
the team
is winning in spite of their max player being an absolute zero. I mean, that's the part that's impressive.
And their main guy being out during most of the winning.
Yes. Their two max guys. One is injured. Another one might as well be.
That's what I'll just say. Respect Burger to Isolo, man.
Yeah.
And he's gotten those guys that he's got left to buy into the roles, and it's been enough to beat these bad teams.
Yep.
And again, I say set the floor
Absolutely. For
what you're not. You're not one of them. You're better than Portland. You're better than Utah. You're clearly better than the Sacramentos. And hopefully you can be better than that once you've got Ja back, and then you find the footing with Jaren.
Yep.
And it starts on the offensive side.
Yeah. But, you know, these are – bad quote-unquote teams, but I mean the Blazers are kind of in your stratosphere, right?
They're trying to be a play-in team. They've kind of come back down to earth, and they were playing shorthanded inside.
No Drew Holiday
either. More than Memphis, I think they were down their top two centers, too,
right.
Klingon and Williams.
No Klingon.
Tristan would tell us. We don't need to send her a text because that was a shorthanded Portland team, but I do think we thought coming into the season Memphis was better, and even without Ja Morant or Jaren Jackson Jr. contributing, I think they're showing that, and they've shown it against some of these lower level teams.
Yeah,
Clippers too. You got to put in that boat, even with all their all stars, but old all stars. You're
right.
A better outfit than them. You've proved it.
Look, you didn't want this to be that kind of year. Okay, let's just call it what it is. We did not want this to be a year where they're quote unquote tanking. Like
just worried about how bad it would get down for them
in
terms of people.
Like this is just not the time.
Checking out. We said
there might be an incentive to it,
but we said it would get ugly.
Yeah, exactly.
And Memphis, a small market team like Memphis that needs to get its lease renegotiated and done and signed, didn't need a season like that.
Exactly.
So again, it'd be nice to get some improvement and see if you can go to the next level, John, top six with a Ja Morant engaged, involved, and having some joy.
Yeah, well, and here's the other part of that tanking discussion. You weren't going to do it better than the Pelicans. You're not going to do it better than, the Jazz. You're not going to do it better than the Wizards.
That's why I said the floor set.
So you might as well try to be a team that, has a postseason, because at the very least, you're investing in the future with Cedric Howard, getting these experiences and those minutes in the postseason, right? I mean, that's valuable. So, again, if the Grizzlies were in a situation where it was possible to be the worst team and to be able to draft an A.J. DeBanza or Darren Peterson, that's one thing. Or even a Cam Boozer if that's your flavor. Not mine, per se, but to some people. But they're not. They're not going to, even if the worst they could be would not be worse than the Pelicans or the Wizards or the – like, it's just not. You got to kind of work
for a minute. You wondered after Boston. You wondered,
yes,
and you wondered if it should be.
You're right,
because it looked that bad Boston. Again, Isolo looked like he didn't have any answers. Edie comes back. Guys have bought into roles.
Right
now, they need to get their major two stars to buy in. That's next. So stay tuned.
So what is this like
as the Grizz turn?
Is this 8 of 10?
It's 7 of 9. It could be 8 of 10 if they beat and should beat Utah on Friday.
Correct.
Yes. No, I mean, it's
that after losing 8 of 9 to start the month of November, bro, exactly. They were a hot mess.
Hot mess.
Edie's return is a lot of this, but you have to give Isolo credit, getting the Cam Spencers, the Vince Williams, to give them everything, you know, give him everything they've got and to buy into these roles. That's how you've, you know, sort of, again, solidified yourself.
All right. We're going to come back. NFL playoff picture is, it's becoming clear. We did lose Indiana Jones yesterday. That was a tough one.
Man.
Colts probably going to miss the playoffs now.
I felt bad for Daniel Jones yesterday.
Yep. Is the Chiefs dynasty ending before us? We'll get into all of it when we get back. J&J, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Leaders Credit Union will never lie to you. In fact, they want to be there for you, telling you the truth through every step of your financial journey. If something's a bad decision, they're going to let you know. That's what family does, and Leaders wants you to be part of the family. They're not-for-profit financial institutions fully owned by members, means it operates for your benefit, means better rates, perhaps, most likely, than the rates that your bank's offering. That's on mortgages, car loans, whatever it is, Leaders can help, and they can help you save while you spend with a Compass Black credit card. It's Christmas time. Obviously, you're going to have lots of things that you've got to spend on. Want to earn while you spend? Open a Compass Black credit card with Leaders Credit Union. You'll enjoy 3% cash back on every purchase when you sign up for a direct deposit and 0% introductory APR for 15 months. No annual fees or limits. Let Leaders help you. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to see all they can help you with. Leaders is your financial champion for life and federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, we're back. You said not the texturist. I couldn't help myself but do it. And it's been quite an entertaining exchange.
Yeah.
I texted her very nicely, I thought. I said, belt to ass, per usual. She said, we had Yang Hanson only.
I knew she was going to talk. Yeah, that's your guy. Remember how excited you were about him, the Chinese center?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When he got drafted?
I said, excuses?
We did him in.
No job for Grizzlies. She says, 3 G League players started or played heavy minutes. I said, seems like Portland maybe needs to do a better job evaluating their talent then. 2 years away from being 2 years away type stuff. She says, nah, there's injuries. And then she adds, you are 2 years away from being in a rebuild. I said, you are 10 years into one.
Well, that's getting good. Problem is, I don't want to have a rivalry with them. I want to have one with Minnesota or you know, OKC or something.
Yeah.
It's nice that you and Trista have a good Portland and Memphis back and forth. And yes, you hold the crown for now.
Yeah.
She was very injury riddled.
She said
that coming. This feels like deja vu. Didn't we do this last week? You had a conversation with her on air.
Yeah, okay. Probably.
But, all right, well, you might want to chill out.
No, I'm never going to chill out. I'm never going to do that. I mean, it's belt to ass. That's what the Grizz put on the Blazers. And, you know, she's been talking all this mess about the Blazers. They ain't nothing. They ain't got nothing going over there.
Grizzlies really looking good.
We got our young talent in Memphis way better than theirs. Cam Spencer, Cedric Howard, you know, even, you know, I guess that's it. But, you know, we'll take it. Zach Edey.
Zach Edey's definitely in there, although I still like Klingon a lot.
Yeah.
When he's healthy.
Yeah. Okay. On to the NFL as the playoff picture is becoming clearer, because last night the Chiefs lose in a game that, was it a must win in terms of win or your season is over? Not quite. Effectively, though, close. Kansas City is now 6-7 on the year. Obviously, only six teams make the playoffs, Jason. And right now, you've got, you know, it's a real problem for Kansas City.
Seven.
Yes. But the real problem here is that Buffalo is not winning its division, right?
Pats.
The Chargers are not winning their division. That would go to the Broncos, who are actually the one seed right now at 11-2 after their win against the Raiders, which was very controversial. I don't know if you saw the ending.
Saw a little bit of it. Didn't care.
Well, it was a I was not involved, thankfully, but it was a 7.5-point spread, and the Broncos were down 10, or excuse me, they were up 10, and the Raiders were driving with 4 seconds left, and the Raiders elected to kick a field goal with 3 seconds left to lose the game by 7, therefore covering the spread. I don't know.
What's the explanation?
Well, I don't really know that there is one. I mean, I guess that you know, there's no time left, though, is the problem. So my strategy is like, if there was at least a second left, I would justify it. But if there's no time left at all, it's pointless. Like, I can't kick this off.
Right.
Like, it's over. But Pete Carroll said, we need the fans to come out, and we'll turn this thing around. Pete, you're not going to be here to see it, okay? We're going to escort you out, old man. You're done after this season, and you're taking Geno with you. But Kansas City loses yesterday to a Houston Texans team that, Jason, feels like the closest thing we've seen to the 2000 Ravens when I watched them.
Oh, chill out.
Them folks play so hard on defense, bro. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, I like that defense. I don't know if I'm ready to compare it to the best we've ever seen. But, yeah, man, Big Will up front, he's a beast.
Yep.
And that defense, and D'Amico Ryan's defensive coach, he's pretty much kept a pretty solid defense. But remember, I mean, when they added Will Anderson, it jacked it up a level. And they might be one of the best, they might be the best defense in the NFL.
Yep.
I don't know. I still like a defense that's got Myles Garrett on it. I still think Cleveland's got it. They're wasting a Super Bowl caliber defense. I think Philly's got a Super Bowl caliber defense.
Yep.
I'm hesitant, but I think Houston might have that too. And if they could ever get things figured out for C.J. Stroud, who does not look the same. He did make some big plays yesterday, you know, with a rush on him. Chris Jones, I mean, those guys were playing like their season was on the line, just in terms of effort level and everything else. I think that's why you got to give Houston a lot of credit.
Yep.
You know, there were times where it rattled C.J. I don't know, that first year, it may be an outlier in that he was just doing so much right. That offensive line was protecting. He just doesn't look as confident as he used to. That said, he still made some huge throws for them, and that's a huge win for them to knock off KC in that spot, like you said, on the road.
Yeah,
very impressively done. I can't buy into that offense right now with who are they starting, running back Marks or someone? Like, they're down to him.
Yeah. Woody Marks.
Exactly. I had to go look him up when they announced.
It's Jaquavius, but he goes by Woody.
So there's a lot on C.J. Stroud to just sort of be the guy. I'm not sure they've got real pieces there.
Yeah. No,
I don't think it amounts to much, but they're on a nice little run that you got to give the defense more credit for.
To me, it's all about D'Amico, right? Like, he just is a coach who, you know, his players are going to play hard for him all the time.
It reminds me of Tomlin early. Defensive guy, culture guy, and typically on that side of the ball, you're going to be pretty nasty.
Yep.
And that's what D'Amico's been for them.
Yep.
If they could, again, get C.J. back to comfortable, getting back to what he looked like that first year, they could be a contender again. I don't think they're ready for that yet until they figure out offensively some of their issues.
I'm just not sure it's in the cards for Kansas City, because now Houston has the tiebreaker. They're already up on you a couple of games here. I think it's probably a wrap for them. Chargers, you know, you do play them again, but they're 8-4. They play tonight. We'll see. If you're a Chiefs fan, you are rooting for the Eagles tonight, because you at least get them to 5. Give me a chance. Bills and Texans both have the tiebreaker over the Chiefs, though, head-to-head, which some people say should be the tiebreaker for all football. But in some things, it's points scored.
Right.
You know, that's really fantasy. Unfortunate.
That's a fantasy.
We have not talked about the fantasy playoff implications on this show.
Well, Monday, the week's not over.
But it is over in terms of the it's
for
set.
For some of you.
It's set.
For some of you.
It's unfortunately, unless something crazy happens in the Bennett Doyle Jessica Benson matchup, she is in. I am out based on this absolutely awful point scored format setting. Not head to head, because I beat her head to head. And Brad, unfortunately, after a big surge here, Ja'Marr Chase, Josh Allen, Brock Bowers, he got put down by a man with no QB yesterday. Wow.
And we're just, it's just business.
Wow.
No gloating necessary. We don't live for regular season wins. We
That's right.
are trying to win championships.
Right.
I tell you what, though, some big brands left out. Sort of feels like the CFP when you don't have Brad in there, you don't have John in there with Jonathan Taylor. I could sort of see y'all wanting to change the format and expand.
Yes.
I would just tell you, do better. Dude, join a conference, win your conference championship.
My team has the league MVP on it and Jonathan Taylor and Rashee Rice, and it's not going to make the playoffs. I mean, that is pretty sickening. It's hard to start 0-3 and get in the playoffs. That's the lesson, right? I mean, I played at a 7-4 clip after that, but it just doomed me. It just absolutely doomed me. And that's the problem. Two things. Rashee Rice was suspended for the first 6 weeks of the season. So that was a big hole.
Man, he was getting knocked around last night.
Yes, he was. And then Justin Jefferson is like, he might as well be Trey Tucker this year.
Jason's really good at fantasy football.
He's a fantastic general manager.
He is a star of that particular thing.
He's been great at it.
Friggin' amazing at it. Well, I give you mad props, man. Congrats.
Now, he does have help
Ryan
this year.
Ryan Silverfield this
he
year.
Has help.
I've lost to some dog teams.
Yes. You're very good at fantasy, man.
No, until I win a second championship, I don't even want it.
But,
I don't want any of your decorations or gas, BC. I told you I looked you in your eye last week, and I told you I like you, I love you, you're my boss, but you had to go
you
down.
You had to take me down.
And Daniel Jones goes down, 0.8, contributed.
Let me ask you this.
It looked
bad.
I
respect it.
Will he be punished from a managerial standpoint?
No, because I came to him correct last week and told him what was about
leader.
To happen.
I don't punish anybody. You guys know that.
Well, I think it's in order. Quite, because it was very disrespectful what he did. He didn't even have a quarterback. He got hurt. He broke his. He tore his Achilles.
I had to go Daniel because my quarterback Drake May was out, obviously on bye.
Jason is very good.
We had to pick up Daniel Jones.
Matt
goes down, and we say how can he win?
And let me also say this:
stepped up.
I do want to say that I do appreciate Bennett Doyle for he has been out of it for basically the entire season, but he still is setting his lineup. That's very important. A lot of people don't do that, right? A lot of people when they are just out of it. They don't set their lineup, and he definitely put his best lineup out there. And unfortunately, it's probably not going to be enough. But
so for the people that care, the people that are going in, Gabe, me, Connor, Jess is going off the tiebreaker.
Yes, even
George
though I beat her.
Is in, and Hogan is in. Six go in.
Hogan's team is an absolute abomination. It's a
I figured
joke.
We start talking about yeah, but those are the six that made it.
Hogan's team.
Congrats to all of them.
Yeah,
Hogan is lucky every week to break 70. Yet somehow he is in. I just don't understand it. I can't explain it. He'll have some ham-fisted excuse about why blah blah blah. But it's like I feel like Notre Dame right
gets
now.
In.
I feel like Notre Dame. I'm like this group of five ass team does not belong.
That's what I said.
I'm sitting at home.
Got some big brands out with Brad, and a two-time fantasy winner, and you out.
Yeah.
You're a multiple-time winner, aren't you?
I won once. And I've been in
there. I'm about to separate myself from you.
Yeah, and I won.
Put myself in the Hall of Fame.
I'll be rooting
like
for
Brad.
You, Jason.
Thank you, Brad.
I will not be rooting for Jason. I will be rooting for George because
he
tried to deliver me by hand a title, and I just wouldn't do it.
Again, early respect burger to George for trading one of the league's best.
That's right.
To John. He still makes playoffs. John does not.
Now, can we also say that Jonathan Taylor has been a disappointment the last 3 weeks? It's kind of killed me.
That's true.
He just hasn't. He had that.
Oh, I know you've got all kind of excuses. So does Pete Carroll.
You're right. Pete's big fix is getting fans to come to the stadium.
That's why we kicked the field goal.
Yeah.
Jesus.
We want to put points on the board.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.